Hello and welcome to Adjusting On podcast number 124. It's a bit late. I know, I try and get these done over the weekend and put them out on a Sunday, and it's actually Wednesday morning. I've been off work for this week, and I'm off work next week as well, which is very nice. I've been busy and I kind of lost my mojo a bit over the weekend. I might mention a bit about that later on. In fact, I probably won't. It's nothing serious. No one died and everything's all fine. It's just stuff that happens sometimes. But I got it back. Everything's all fine and groovy. And I actually nearly didn't make a podcast this week. I thought, shall I? Come on. So I've got some really good stuff. Some interviews and some live tracks and some brand new tracks that no one in the world has heard yet. Apart from people that recorded it, obviously. Anyway, I'm going to start off with a real favourite of mine. This is King Never, a fantastic King Never, and Sorrow.
Hi, this is Deborah G. from the Cherry Blue Storms, and you're listening to Is This Thing On? And no, you can't have any.
Some people think that rules keep us alive. You're only worth your shirt and your tie. If you don't know, then you're not worth a dime, and you will surely die. sin on your hands and knees. If you are in pain, then God's wrath is appeased. You can't be happy is what you believe, and you have surely died. Places I've been, the first stone is cast from the ones with no sin. Here in this place where I do not fit in, I will surely die. And in the darkness the truth surely comes, the cold of the night where righteousness falls. Where you are standing, I do not belong, and I am sure he died. Hold on, sisters and brothers, hold on, hold on to each other. We can be stronger, we can be stronger. Hold on, sisters and brothers, hold on to each other. We can be stronger. We can be stronger. Hold on, sisters and brothers, hold on to each other. Stronger, we can be stronger.
Hello, I'm a posh bird, and you're listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast.
You are indeed. It's a band called 1930 and a track called Sisters and Brothers. Now, there's a lot of music this week, but some of it's sort of a bit spaced out because I've got some bits and pieces that I was going to do in this podcast and then in next week's podcast and stuff. So it's all a little bit different. And I've got an impromptu thing. Now, last night I played a gig in a place called Scene, which I've played at before. And I took with me Mr. Marvin B. Naylor. And we've got a couple of minutes of me talking to him in the car on the way to the gig. And I was sort of chatting to him, and then he started talking about this new single that he'd just recorded. He just had it mastered the week before. And as he was talking, I thought, you know what, this would be quite good for the podcast. So I pulled out my Zoom, as you do, chucked it in the middle of the car, and recorded him talking about this new single of his. And what I'll do is I'll play you him talking about it. It's on our way last night. We're inside the car, so it's, you know, sort of a bit bumpy, and you get a bit of the noise of the car and stuff. And then I shall play you his monster track. And yeah, anyway, have a listen to this. It's good.
We're in the car, Marvin, and we're off to Scene, aren't we? So don't worry about it. Just talk to me as if that's not there. Just ignore that.
I've just woken up and found myself in a car.
You have. We're on our way to Scene.
Going to
play
a strange place.
Scene Acoustic Club.
Acoustic pub, yeah.
So you were telling me about this 9-minute song.
Yeah.
8 minutes 57.
8 minutes 57 song, yeah. And I've been working on it for months. I've just had it mastered. Written on and recorded almost completely with the Rickenbacker 12-string electric guitar.
Nice.
An instrument very dear to me. My second one, my first one was stolen.
Really?
In 1996, yeah. A traumatic experience for me. Never found out who took it. In a pub at the East Dulwich Tavern.
Really?
In South London, yeah. Yeah, never got it back. It was an inside job because it was stolen from the dressing room, which was upstairs. Anyway, never got it back. Yeah, this is my second one. And I thought, I'll use it. I thought I'll use it. I'm going to write the song with it. Because you tend to record stuff you write songs with, I think.
I do.
Most of my stuff's on an acoustic drawstring guitar, which, you know, as you know, if you write stuff on that, you tend to record with it.
Yeah.
So my approach was the same, except I started with the electric Rickenbacker, and it's actually a conglomeration of about five or six separate pieces of music which seem to fall together quite well, and which are connected or joined occasionally by various reprises which crop up, you know, as a kind of glue.
Yeah.
Glue it all together.
Musical glue.
Yeah, musical glue. So I've done that, and it's finished, and it's taken me a long time to do. It's mainly as a Rickenbacker 12 string guitar. I've got a bit of electric bass on it from an old Vox Clubman bass my dad bought for me in 1976, which we stumbled on, which is in the window of a Brighton pawn shop. He bought it for me for £8.
Lovely.
Yeah, £8. Never used it on anything. I thought, finally got the chance to use it, and I used it. And it's got a great kind of really thumpy 60s.
What make is it again?
Flat wound string.
Flat wound.
High action, really high action.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what Brian Wilson, who was it? Carole Kane used on the Brian Wilson stuff. Where they used it with in conjunction with a string bass. Yeah. High action, flat wound strings, nice thick pick. You get that proper 60s kind of sound. Yeah. So I've never used it, and so I've used that now. And the electric 12 string guitar. Which has the guitar in various formats. There's a solo Rickenbacker 12-string guitar. Not like a rip-roaring kind of progressive rock solo or anything like that. Nothing at all like that. One section came about after I'd listened to Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto.
Yeah?
But it's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. But I think it has a bit of the... a serious kind of sound to it, you know, if you like. One device which was born out of desperation. What happened was I recorded the original guitar track, which covers most of the song, the foundation guitar, using Terega's tremolo technique, which you hear on the Recuerdos de la Alhambra, all that stuff. Spanish guitar technique.
Right.
Where you have the thumb and the two fingers, no, the thumb playing the bass runs,
yeah,
and then the three fingers playing in very, very fast succession the same note,
like
a tremolo. But unfortunately, what happened was, because I've got something wrong with my hand, focal dystonia.
Quite good. It's nothing to do with your eyes.
Nothing is so with my eyes at all, which restricts what I do. It's rendered two of my important fingers useless, so I have to play everything with two fingers, my thumb and my forefinger. Well, I kind of have to try and make do with the technique, but it was so good. But when I listened to the track back, it was awful. It was just awful. And basically the top line, the melody line of what I was playing, didn't come through very well at all. It was terrible. And I panicked, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? So I had to think of a way to bring out the top line.
Yeah.
So what I did was I tuned all the strings on the 12-string Rickenbacker to the same note, which was a D. So they're spread out over three octaves.
Right.
So they're 12 D notes. Slightly detuned, so they don't all sound exactly in tune, or else be no point. And you used a slide to bring out the top line with a bit of reverb on, and I get a weird kind of oriental kind of Indian sound.
Indian strings.
Indian strings, violins, yeah. No harmony, just the same, just the note.
Yeah,
spread out over a couple of octaves. And when I took that in and played it, and Gary Brady recorded it, it was like, done, that was it. The problem was solved straight away.
So when did you do
but
this?
But it was out of desperation, really, you know?
So you came up with this idea, did you sort of like listen to it at home? And then go, what am I going to do? Did you work it out at home and then take it into the studio, or did you do it all in the studio?
I had the backing track of the first day's session, which was just the guitar going through the whole 9 minutes of the song.
Right.
Not much else apart from that. I had the foundation guitar, you know, the main one, which should have been playing all the different, this particular thing, but it didn't work out right. It didn't work out at all. So I had the tape and I had to play along. I just suddenly thought, because I think I read somewhere that in the 70s, and some pop records, and it might have been Gary Glitter records, or that kind of sound, the
sort of glammy, glammy sound. But yeah, that's
I'm sure that the, I don't know if it was Chin and Chapman, you know that one?
Yeah.
If they tuned all the strings on a six-string guitar to one note, so you get like just if you just play a riff on it, basically, that's all you can do. You play a riff.
Yeah.
You play a riff on
it. Is.
And I'm sure I read somewhere about that. So I thought, you know, these things come into your head when you're desperate, you're looking for something.
Yeah.
You think, I've got to sort this out because it's no good. No one else is going to sort it out except me. You know, it's my song. I've got to, it's a big problem. And for months I've been playing this, thinking it was going to work out, and it hasn't worked out, and I panicked. But it must have been in the back of my mind. So why not, you know, tune a 12-string guitar all to the same note? You know, you're going to get a distinctive sound anyway.
Definitely.
And just by good fortune, it worked. It worked really well. And so it's become quite a distinctive part of the song, which crops up now and again, you know, whenever this technique is used. Yeah, in the song, but there's many other things in it as well.
So, like you've got that piece in there. How do you sit down and write a piece like that?
I don't think you just
twiddle.
You don't sit down and think I'm going to write a piece of music.
No, I know, but do you sit and are you a noodler? Do you know what I mean by a noodler? That makes sense to you. I mean, I've got guitars, put it this way, I'm a noodler, so I've got guitars around me.
I had some with some sausages and beans tonight,
But no,
sometimes.
I've got a guitar around pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
And so something will happen, I'll just pick up a guitar and just throw it up with a noodle and just sort of play along basically. And sometimes I'll like hit upon something and go, there's a song there, there's an idea there.
Yeah.
Or do you start go, okay, it's Thursday, this is my writing a song day, and I sit down and do it.
No, not at all. I'd have to go through the all the different bits of the, I think what happened was months and months ago, probably about 6 months ago, I had a melody of which was only works on a 12-string guitar, which I have to, you know, often have things like that.
Yeah.
That's the main instrument I use anyway. It sounded very good on electric Rickenbacker guitar though, so I stuck with that. And it was in my brain, and it was going. I thought it sounds like the end of the song, or the end of something that fades in and then fades out, like a bell-like thing. You know, where you have two 12-string guitars, one out of tune to the other. Play them together in unison, you have a nice bell-like tone that you can get. So I had that, and then I had some other bit. And I thought the first bit would sound good at the end of the song. No, at the beginning of the song. Because the other bit sounded better after the first bit. So it kind of went like that, you know. But there's six sections of the song, which aren't really related at all. But it's just happened to work out well together. But what usually happens is one section ends and then the other one begins, or one section begins right on as one of them's fading out. So it is. To me, it sounds quite coherent. You know, it all sounds like it works together really well. But you have to hear it. But I just wanted to see if I could write something just for the electric 12-string guitar, which I've never done before in my life. And I think it turned out quite successful. You know, but.
Thank you.
Hello, this is That Posh Bird again. For more information on who has been played on the podcast, simply go to isthisthingonpodcast.com. Can you do that? Good.
So how about that? That's 8 minutes and 57s of Marvin B. Naylor. Yeah, I think that was quite marvellous, really. Let us know what you think. Now, I've got a couple more tracks to play you. We're only halfway through, but we've got Unplug the Jukebox in a minute with Paul McCartney, I was going to say. Paul Lane, who I don't think I'm going to see this week because, I don't know, he's been very quiet on Facebook. So maybe he's got some news, which you will hear of him talking about possible news he might have, I think. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Anyway, in the meantime, this is a song called... What's it called? Oh, this is called His Place or Mine. This is Postcode. They've got some brand new stuff, and hopefully I'll remember what it is, and I'll post it on the website this week. Anyway, have a listen to this. This is marvellous. His Place or Mine, Postcode.
In the closet you will find him through the long hours of the day. In the bars you will find him when the clock strikes that day. He thinks he is ready to tell us who he really wants to be.
Me.
Hello.
So we've had a pre podcast beer, haven't we?
Yeah. It's that time of the week again, friends. Here is Paul Lane and Nick Tan. Unplug the jukebox, baby.
It's that time of the week again.
It's weekly again as well, which is nice. It's weekly, yeah, for the moment.
Sure what's going to happen next week, but I've got something in reserve for next week.
Okay,
I have an interview for next week in reserve that I've been hanging back
just
on.
In case.
And next week, I've got earmarked for that one, so don't worry about it.
Well, I'll let the wife know.
Yeah,
if you could be so kind to fit in with, you know, your old mate Nick.
Yep, start pushing
and,
now.
Start pushing. And, and a little mini... Laney will come out, and then we'll be back at unplugging
or
the
alley. Never mind, that's too difficult a thing to do. So, what did you think about last week's
podcast, mate? Yes, got my notes here, as you can see. Matt Stevens really liked Burnout Carving. It's great. It's really clever.
Have you heard the new single from Fierce and the Dead?
No, not yet.
I've heard it.
What's it called?
It's called VHS.
That's it.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Was it?
It's brilliant. Yeah, videos on YouTube. I might put a link up actually because it's that good. And there will be, because they've made a film.
Yeah.
Kevin's made a film. There will be something special coming out. Ooh. I can't reveal anything. I can tell you that there's something special coming out in about 2 or 3 weeks' time. About 3 weeks' time, something special coming out from
Ooh,
Fierce and the Dead, which is Matt Stevens band.
Yeah,
that's very good.
Cool. Well, Matt's actually someone I've always liked. I've always liked what you played.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got any of his stuff.
Have you?
Instrumental stuff doesn't always do it for me, but his stuff I really like.
Mm.
And it always keeps you guessing. It's never dull, is it? It's never predictable. So I shall be delving into the world of YouTube and putting a couple of his videos up on Unplug at some point in the not too distant future. And maybe this new Fierce and the Dead thing as well. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Martha's Man. Good old Russell.
Yeah.
From the Rebs. Formerly of the Rebs, I'm assuming. I don't know. Is he? I don't know. Russ, can you sort us out with that one, please, mate?
Artists only listen when they've been played sometimes.
Tell him he's been played, let's fool him.
Okay.
I love that. Already Hurting, fantastic. Really good pop song, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, good hooking.
He knows how to write a pop song, doesn't he?
He does.
Really does.
He does.
Big chorus, he's got an ear for a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's comfortably familiar as well. Because I didn't know, I just put the podcast on, I didn't know what you played on it or anything. And I thought, I know that voice. And then I thought, oh no, it just sounds like someone. And then when it got to the chorus, it's like, oh yes, good old Russell, Martha's Man.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Jay Gruvara.
Gruvara, yeah.
Is that how it's
said?
Cuckoo. That's quite mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
Really,
really
good.
Interesting. You remember it. It's got, nice
really
guy.
Good fun.
Nice guy
really
too.
Good fun. Paul Liddell, Boots. I really like that. I prefer Ghost Car.
Do you?
I prefer Ghost Car. But I like the EP. I've got the EP. I do like this.
Actually, I haven't played Ghost Car for a while. You should play a lot.
Help Yourself Float, I think the EP's called.
Yeah.
And it's, I like the fact that he sings with his accent as well.
Yeah.
Not that I'm biased for that part of the world, Sunderland. Yeah. I've got family and stuff. But yeah, I really like his stuff. It's got a real guts to it. And good stuff. James Curaccia.
Yeah, he's not Italian. He might be, but he's not.
Who knows? That's gorgeous, that track.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
That's a good question.
But I really liked it. It's gorgeous.
Mm.
Oh, hang on. Oh, was it Your Embrace or something like that?
Yeah, it is Your Embrace.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I really like that. Again, instrumental stuff.
Yeah.
Like it. It's opening mirrors. Now, Mr. Tan. Your version of Don't Make Me Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I thought, considering what I'm used to from your...
Yeah, yeah.
The vocal delivery was quite restrained, I thought. Quite held back.
I
now,
did.
Now, is this the influence of this vocal coach that you saw?
It is.
Right, okay.
It is. So I did hold back a little bit, but also I was aware that when I record this, I'd record it with one mic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get the balance right.
Okay.
And I didn't want it to be too loud.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was sort of,
you've got a big old pair of lungs on you, mate, haven't you?
Well, I'm trying to temper it, you see.
I'm trying to
temper it a little bit. So
sure.
So yeah, it's still a bit holding back a little bit.
Interesting. I did pick up on that because I was waiting for you to really, really go for
it.
Yeah, well, you just held back a bit.
Something else as well. I can't remember what it was. There was something else I was aware of about that, but there was that influence. But did you like what I did with the show? I did something different with the podcast last week. I produced it in a different way. I put a few on, bloody hell.
I do listen.
Well, no. The thing is, I did. I had songs,
especially to my bit.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, I cut it like you liked.
Yeah, you did. You did. That was fantastic.
You did.
Yes, I cut it
like so. Will you do it like so and so? Like before, you cut it and done. I went, I might do.
Yeah.
See what I feel. Yeah. But I did. I was feeling very creative. But I did also cut the podcast like that. I cut instead of talking between every single track.
Yes, that's right.
I had one
yes.
track and then a jingle, then another one, and then I put
that.
A jingle in. See, I quite like putting jingles and idents in the middle of songs where it's appropriate.
I'm not overly keen.
You're not
on
keen
that,
on that,
but,
are you? But I quite like that.
So it defeats the purpose a little bit.
Well, maybe.
But I think I like the fact that you had a song and then a jingle, then a song.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Because someone said, "Yeah, I liked it because it wasn't so much talking." Oh right, okay. I've been told.
I'm just saying I liked it. I'm not saying why. So are you going to ask me what I'm going to talk about this week?
Well, what are you going to talk about this week?
Well, that's a good job you asked me that, Nick. I'm going to talk about a band called, I love this name.
Go on.
Johnny Cola and the A-Grades.
They haven't come and from Manila PR, have they?
No, they haven't. They've come from...
They started following me on Twitter this week, actually, yeah, Manila PR.
No, Johnny Cola and the A-Grades have come from Johnny Cola and the A-Grades. Mm. I think I did my usual thing, going through listings and dropping bands' emails and stuff and just saying, oh, hello, you know, just introducing what we do. And Johnny got in touch, dropped me a copy of the CD in the post. Nice. It's their, I don't know if it's a debut EP, I don't know, but it's an EP, a 4-track EP. It's called Halo. What can I tell you about this band? Not a lot. I don't even know where they're from. They're a 5-piece, and they've got a bloke called Marco who's Irish Italian. And that's all I can really tell you, to be honest with you. I don't know. I can't really tell you anything about them. But
Might not even be English.
I think they are English. I'm not surprised if they're from London, but I don't know. I'm guessing. So Johnny, hopefully, if you're listening, mate, let us know, because I'd like to know. anyway, saw the cover of the. Well, I got the EP. You know that thing of like when you get something, you look at the artwork and you think, right, I know what this is about.
Yeah.
Well, I straight away thought it'd be quite sleazy, kind of New York Dolls kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, as you know, New York Dolls.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Right, all over them like a rat.
Oh, I love them. Love them. so the title track, Halo, very much David Bowie influence. Mm. But nice meeting of two periods of Bowie, I would suggest. Okay. A bit of Diamond Dogs in there, and a bit of Scary Monsters as well.
Super Creeps.
That indeed. So, I liked it. But there's something very unmistakably English about it. Now, don't ask me to put my finger on what. I don't know.
I was just going to.
Oh, you bugger. But I know. Okay. I don't know. But I must admit, when I first heard the verse, kind of left me a little bit underwhelmed on the first listen. And then the chorus just lifted it. And I was like, well, hang on. We're onto something here. And then after a few listens, the verse has grown me. And the song as a whole just really, really works. It's very, very glam influenced. You know, again, this goes back to that Bowie thing, which it interests me to read that one of their influences is actually Mott the Hoople.
Mm.
It's like the first in their list of influences that I pinched off of the internet. Second track, Rain Stop Play. There's a nice thunderous bit of bass on this. The bass really drives it. It's great. And I'm trying to think of what it reminded me of. I was listening to it on my way around here.
Mm.
And it still wasn't sitting in my head. But who does this remind me of? But it's great. Gives it real nice edge, nice urgency. Good old stomp. Again, glam rock influence is there. And a big chorus. The band, they know their way around a chorus, like we were saying about Russell earlier, Martha's Man. They know how to get a little earworm in there.
Mm.
Big old chorus. And I say this about loads of bands that I've talked about on here. Not just bands, but solo artists as well. I'd love to see this lot live. I think it'd be a lot of fun live. In a good old sweaty club somewhere. A few beers, you know, be great. A good old fun night, you know. Track called Ripples.
Drop a stone and watch the ripples spread. Ooh, oh, 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 oh. Outside the Iceland exit door.
I must admit, the opening couple of bars was just piano and it was a little bit cheesy, but it did save itself because it's a cracking song. It's a real epic. I loathe to use the term rock ballad because it's a bit scary, isn't it?
It is.
So I'm not going to use it.
Image.
I'm not going to use it. But there's the guitar really crackles away in the background. Rises above the cheesiness, and Yeah, just I guess you can sort of tell when someone means it and when they don't, and these guys clearly mean it. There's a real, I don't know, just oozes that vulnerability and the soul, and really nice. The climax to it, the guitars are just kicking in, and it's great. You know, really, really, yeah, spine tingling, I would say. You know, yeah, really liked it. Now the last track on the EP was really interesting. Because when I read what it was on the cover, I was like, oh my word. It's actually a cover of Ship of Fools by Erasure. Do you remember Erasure?
I remember Erasure.
Ship of Fools was one of those ones, I read it and I thought the title, I remember that one, when you hear it,
right,
you remember it. But they've given it their own, you know, their own sound. They haven't just gone ahead and just, well, if they just went ahead and copied it, it wouldn't have fitted in with the rest of the EP anyway. But they've really put their own take on it and made it their own, I think. So, and also serves the purpose of reminding us what a fucking great band Erasure were, because they did some great pop songs, I think. You know, I thought they did some really good pop songs.
Yeah. I'm not really a pop person.
This is true. But I suppose I'm of that age that I remember buying Now That's What I Call Music tapes, and then Erasure were on them.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So I suppose, you know, they've got that place. And my memories and all that. I don't know what's out of my throat today. I keep having
a bit throaty when you came in.
Yeah, I keep having a clear. I'm doing it all that way. It's not good. Yeah, so basically, to sum up, Johnny Cola and the A Grades Halo EP is a really wild, wonderful listen. I really like it. Really like them. Like what they're trying to do. And yeah, it's good. Good bit of glad. You know, they're not trying to be. So, you know, they're not trying to mix things up too much. They're just, you know, they are what they are. You see, you look on the, like I said, I looked on the cover, I thought it'd be a bit of New York Dollsy, a bit that kind of glam rock meets punk rock kind of thing. And that's exactly what it is. So, hats off to them.
Lovely.
Love it. Johnny Cola and the A Grades. Go to their website, which is johnnycolaandtheagrades.net. They're on a record label, Hometown London, there we go. They're on a record label called Scratchy Records, so I don't really know anything about. Must be a little independent somewhere, but keep up the good work. That's your lot.
Lovely, mate.
All right, mate.
Cheers, then.
All right.
Hello, this is That Posh Bird again. For more information on who has been played on the podcast, simply go to isthisthingonpodcast.com. Can you do that? Good.
Lovely. This is the Plimptons. Just because you've done one selfless act doesn't mean your greatness is a fact. But don't you know that life goes on, and I've not won, not yet. Pride comes before a fall. Now the self-congratulation's over. Got to become collected and sober. But don't you know my favourite drug is being smug, oh yeah. Pride comes before a fall. When you're proud of you've done one selfless act doesn't mean your greatness is a fact. But don't you know that life goes on, and I've not won, not yet.
That was the Plimptons, and Pride Comes Before a Fall. I reckon Paul will like that. Don't you reckon that? What do you reckon, Paul? And yeah, and you were listening to Paul Lane before that, who I think may be a father now. I don't know. What do you reckon? It's Wednesday, so it's quite possible, because she was due, you know, very soon. So let's wait and see. I haven't heard anything from him yet. I'm sure I'm probably the last person on his list is going to tell. There's lots of other people much more important than me in Paul's life, I'm sure. Now, the next band I'm going to play is a band called Whitebone Rattle. This is a great little tune, this is. I played this a long while ago. This is Ferryman.
Sunsets, one last time. こんにちは、ニクさん。私はノーニーと言います。ニクさんの It's This On Podcast の日本のリスナーです。
Lovely. That was What Bone Rattle and the Ferryman. That was Ronnie. I haven't heard from Ronnie for a while, actually. He sort of crops up every so often. Ronnie, if you're listening, give us a shout. Could you send us an email and let us know you're all right? Now, you heard me talking to Marvin Bunella on the way to a gig we did last night in Scene Acoustic Club. Which was good. There's a guy called Phil King we met last night who was sort of heading the bill. And he was a very nice man. Very nice man indeed. And various other folk. What's that noise? Oh, sorry. Something going on outside. And so I recorded it. I'm recording most of the things I do nowadays. So I've got this little Zoom recorder, which is a fantastic little thing. Marvellous it is. And so I recorded my set such as it was. I only did 3 songs. And I'm going to play one of them now to finish off this week with. We're just under the hour this week, which is, just the way it is this week. It's been a funny week. Like I say, it's a funny week. So hopefully I should get back on track for next week. Well, I'm sure it will be. And we'll get back nice and early. So anyway, this is me playing. What did I play? This is on my Spanish guitar. And it's a track I've played before on here, but the full version. This is what I do at a gig. So you can hear me at a gig. This is Can't Stop Missing You. And I'll see you all next week. Bye.
Always a pleasure to welcome this crazy, crazy man, all the way from Southampton. Please welcome Nick Tan.
Left hand mic. You can move it a bit if you
want. Top hand the O2, isn't it? Right, I'll be over here then. I wrote this song a few years ago, and when you write your own stuff, you can kind of cover it in a way. You can kind of make it, you can kind of change it, and as your styles and stuff develops, as you can sort of play and sing and do guitar. It's like a scrapyard, your own songs, and I sort of changed this around a little bit to make it a little bit more contemporary, because it's a bit old-fashioned, a bit 90s. Old-fashioned now, honest. And I wrote it about my wife, and my wife lives in Eastleigh, and she still does it with me, and I used to live up in London, and she used to come up and see me at the weekends, and she'd leave on a Monday morning, and I wrote this about her, and about leaving on a Monday morning. So it might sound a little bit somber, but it's actually quite a happy song, and we did get married, so it's really cool.
Yeah. me feel this way. I thought in time I would, thought in time I would forget you, think about you each and every single day, each and every single day. And I can't stop missing you. Stop missing you, no matter how hard I try, I just can't stop, 'cause I just can't stop missing you. Can't stop missing you, can't stop missing you, no matter how hard I try, I just can't tell.
This is the Posh Bird, and you have been listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast. Fucking good, wasn't it?